Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God loves us all. His return is soon, and His plan is a holy and wonderful plan. The Lord never ceases to amaze me in all of His word. In everything He does, in His word, He amazes me. Every instruction, everything He's given me to do, the more He does and the more I receive from Him, the more I know and understand that He thinks of all things. Even His timing is perfect. He knows how long it will take us to obey and get in position. And from the first mention of His instruction, everything is well calculated. He knows how we're going to feel. He knows what we're going to say. He knows our response. He knows how much time it'll take for us to grow in order for us to be ready for such a time as this. And those who seek the Lord and count on Him, the Lord can bless them and do great things in their lives. I like the way that those who are led by the Holy Spirit, they do, if they have a passion for it at all, and they stick with what He gives them to do, it works out well. There's a preacher in Africa, Bonnicky, an evangelist. And he wanted people to get saved. He wanted more and more people to get saved. And he asked the other elders why they weren't getting saved. And they said, well, it's got to be a move of God, as if God would have to start it Himself. But that didn't sit well in his heart. And I saw him on TV about a week or so ago talking about his life's ministry. And he just decided that wasn't good enough. He was going to go, and whatever God gave him to do, he put his heart in it. And the Lord sent him to Africa. And he would always say, all Africa would be saved. And he saw people get saved by the millions. By the millions. He showed it on TV, the attendance of and they filled out, the people who got saved filled out forms that, what did he call them? He called them, for lack of a better word, decision forms. And they filled out certificates that they had gotten saved. Millions and millions and millions of people. And sometimes millions of people in one crusade. And people were hungry for the Lord. Never doubt what God can do. When you're anointed, you have God's ability to do something. And when you cooperate with the anointing, that's what Satan fears the most. Now, the closer we get to Jesus' returns, the more fearful Satan gets. And he's angry and he's fearful and he's trying to make himself look good still. And he's trying to deceive people out of salvation. I'm going to say that again. He's trying to deceive people out of salvation. He's trying to chip off our people. Everyone. Every tribe, every race, our people. Our nation, not only our nation, but every nation. Anybody he can, he wants to destroy them. He wants to get them in deception so they'll be neutralized. You know, when they don't want a dog to have puppies, they neuter them. He wants us to be neutralized, sterile, not able to bear fruit. Not just naturally, but spiritually, especially spiritually. He don't care if people bear fruit naturally, as long as they're stubborn-hearted, so that the offspring will be stubborn-hearted. Some of his deception is against not only us, but our heritage. He knows that if we bear fruit after our kind, and if the parents are thieves, the children, that it'll be hard for them not to be thieves, because that's what they'll be around. And their parents are weak to that spirit, that way of thinking. And so it is with other things. So it's important to deal with every form of deception and temptation. You don't want those things getting into your lineage. Satan tempts people with forms of lust. See, homosexual people, they can't have children if they are strict homosexuals. Because two men can't have a child and two women can't have a child. But if the parents get into forms of lust, that the spirits of lust gets on that family and tries to find its way to their children. And when people don't resist the enemy, then the enemy will use their desires as a weapon against them to drive them into more darkness. You know, Satan is invasive. He's trying to invade your territory, change your course. Moses told the Israelites to write God's word on the pots and pans and in the house and over the door so the children would never forget, so that the word of God would be entrenched in their heart. But some people don't always do that. They don't remind their children about God. And now you have the media, TV, smartphones, internet, and all these things are trying to waste your time, creep into your life, take you far away from the order of God, the heritage, your true heritage. But God is good. Those who learn his word and take him at his word and learn to trust his word, they live on a greater level, a greater category. Their whole dynamic is better. It's something that the world will be jealous of. They'll be envious of the life of God. But the life of God displays the order of God and suggests to everybody that they can have the very same thing. Now, I grew up seeing good marriages in my neighborhood. The older people that were married, I wanted a wife that I could trust and that would, and she would be able to trust me. I wanted my wife to be able to trust me. And I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to be obedient to God and be a blessing to my wife and never, ever betray her. And that was very important to me. And as the Lord taught me how to stand and how to resist temptation, I was very thankful and appreciative, and I still am. God is good, and I want people to know how wonderful he really is. There's not a problem in this that comes from the world that God can't give you victory over. He can show you how to succeed, how to go forward, how to even endure when you have to endure. When you don't know what to do and things are contrary and you don't have everything you desire and everything that you need, it's a blessing that we can always endure. And we're prosperous people anyway. It's in our nature to prosper. We are prosperity. We were redesigned just like Jesus. He's our Savior, the firstborn among many brethren. So when we are born again, we have a new kind. We have a new... God becomes our Father, and we're remade in His likeness. So whatever our natural parents lack, we can gain it in God, because Jesus made Him our Father. And we're remade in His likeness. Now Adam was made in His likeness, and after he fell, he was in Satan's likeness. And now all who believe on Jesus, there are new likenesses as the Father. And the more we take Him at His word and receive His word in our heart, we change what kind of person we are. Our whole DNA structure is changed. There was a warrior in Africa. He was mean and vicious, and he killed people and murdered people. And they took a blood sample. The missionary doctors took a sample of his blood. And they told him about Jesus, and eventually he got saved. And they checked his blood again and compared it. His DNA changed, literally, naturally. His natural DNA changed. And that's how I found out, because they talked about it on Christian TV. They had an old sample of his blood and a new sample of his blood, and his DNA was different. We have a brand new heart, and our heart affects our body. He went from hatred to love because he got saved. He's living under a better order, a new order. He's made brand new. Now our bodies will be made brand new when the rapture happens. Now this is what's going to take place according to Scripture. At the rapture, everybody who is raptured when Jesus returns, which is soon, which is imminently soon, we will see Him. We get a brand new body. We already have a brand new heart. But at the day of the rapture, we get a brand new body. And then we see God face to face. And from that point on, we'll know as we're known. Our spirit is new now. Our body will be made new then. And when we see Him face to face, our mind will be totally renewed. And that's how the Word of God is written. So whatever you didn't get right here, when you see God face to face, you will be new. You see, if you saw Him face to face, your body couldn't take it, you'd die. But with a renewed body, and you see Him face to face, you will be totally purified. You will be totally in His likeness. Now, Elder Lewis was the first one to point those scriptures out. I thank God for it. Everybody, every person, all the people of God have strong points as well as weaknesses. But I would rather talk about the strong points that people have. Good teaching. You know, no matter how people feel or what they do they shouldn't do, I still thank God for what they did right. And I've talked about the spirit of bondage before. The other broadcasts you know about, you know about all that if you've been listening to these broadcasts and what happened and all that. But he had his moments where he taught perfectly, and sometimes, and there were times he taught according to the heart of God, and it was good. And the Lord loves His people, and He works with us. He's patient with us, and He's good. He thinks of everything. So I don't look at the person. I look at Christ in the person. And I thank God for them. I thank God for their courage. You know, when it was very unpopular in our organization, women You know, Bishop Bonner said that women couldn't preach, and his wife was a preacher, but he taught that women couldn't preach because that's how he was taught. And I kept running into women that were called to preach. And I used to defend the same doctrine we used to have. And then I stopped doing that because I kept running into women that they knew about the church I went to, and the Lord was calling to preach. And they would say, well, I used to go to Refuge Temple, but they don't believe in women preachers, and the Lord called them to the ministry, so I had to leave. And I stopped running my mouth so much, I started paying more. If you don't build with God, you scatter. And that was a lady, in my zeal, I told her she wasn't supposed to be preaching. And she happened to be a pastor of a guy I went to high school with. And we was on the phone for about an hour going back and forth about how she wasn't supposed to be preaching. I thought I was right. Nobody could tell me nothing. But I learned from those days. And then when Elder Lewis released the women to preach, five women went up. They were called to preach. And they were good. They were excellent. They could minister. Joyce Myers is a blessing. She really changed the mindset of the whole church because God did a work in her life. And she helped many wives be healed of all kind of things. She gave them the teaching that we really needed. And she's a blessing to all women. And I thank God for her and others like her. But Elder Lewis had the courage to be different. He stood right there in the pulpit and said he was wrong and he was sorry. And he said the same scriptures we use to say women couldn't preach prove that women can. And we knew the scriptures because we always used them. Now, people can change. So I don't believe in holding people to what they once did. And the only reason I mention things that happen is so that others can avoid it. There are things, sometimes the temptation of Satan is so embarrassing that you don't want to talk about it because you look bad. Now, he tempted me, and it was embarrassing to let somebody know that he was tempting me with women, and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to combat it, and most men don't. And this was back in 87 and 80 through. It started around the time I got called to the ministry, the fall of 87, and it lasted to the spring of 88. That's when I learned how to win. Now, the whole time, I did everything I was learning. And as I learned something against temptation, I practiced it. And the Lord taught me many things, but I still felt tempted, but I didn't give up. I said, I'm going to kill this thing. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And I kept confessing the word of God until I did kill that thing. And it was not hard. And when in the spring of 1988, I knew what to do. The Lord said, I did everything I could find, everything I could learn against temptation. And then the Lord said, don't fear falling. And then everything just came together when he made that statement. And I got to a point I could laugh at temptation. I couldn't be conquered by it from that point. It was amazing. That's why I say the things that are meant to embarrass you and shut your mouth, you need to talk about it so others can learn. Now, I'm not fond of talking about other people's failures, but these were the things that happened. And the enemy was not Elder Lewis. It was the spirit of bondage that was trying to destroy his ministry. And that's why I talked about, I let people know according to the guidance of God. Now, A lot of people now are very mature in the Lord, and they've seen things as well. And there's no reason for the next generation to go through the same problems that this generation has gone through. And because I love the body of Christ, I'm going to teach people God's word. I'm going to speak what he says as often as I can according to his guidance. See, he knows us all, and he knows what we're capable of. He knows what we can be in him. And he knows how to order our lives and bless us. So I'm not going to let people lack knowledge because they don't have to. We don't have to lack knowledge anymore. We can have the understanding that the Lord has provided us with. And that's precisely what I intend to do. Now, to everybody I had to mention in other situations, it was so that others wouldn't make the same mistakes. We don't have a right to alter God's word or teach it wrong. And it happens. Even people of good intentions can speak the wrong thing. And the Lord knows when people are deceived or being malicious. But judgment comes on those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So that's dangerous. That's a dangerous road to take. But he loves us, and he's willing to help us and help us grow and go forward. And that's precisely what we need to do. Now, the Lord, is his return is soon. So whatever things went wrong, forget about the past and look to God in the future. What is he doing in your life now? Where is he taking you presently? What's next on his agenda? That's what we need to be focusing on, because that's where we're going to live and grow and develop. All the wonderful things of God that comes to pass in our lives, all the healing, the blessing, the victory, is to help us grow and go forward. We don't have to fail anymore. And we will never surrender. Like Winston Churchill said, we will never surrender. And I thank God for it. And those who love him will see the mighty move of God. We will see God in greater and greater ways. We grow from glory to glory. We enjoy all forms of victory. We will see the Lord move in our lives. And whatever he's given you to do, the reason Satan tries to stop you is because he's desperately afraid of all of your potential in Christ. So be what he fears. Speak the word of God boldly. Do your very best. Do what's in your heart. Take your place in Christ. Because you can't lose. The anointing will break the yoke where God sends you to break it. Never look at what's not. Look at what is in you. Who are you in Christ? What did the Bible say you can do? What did it say you can have? How far do you measure it? If you don't put a cap on it, God won't either. And you will be thoroughly prepared as you follow his guidance. Like he always had me to say, he thinks of everything. He's not going to leave an element that you need out. He's going to give you every element you need, especially if you ask him. Ask him for your daily bread every day. Many times at night, before I go to sleep, when I'm laying, you know, when I lay down, I'm very tired because I pull wrenches and I work on cars all day. My mind is going 100 miles an hour trying to think and process. and figure out what's wrong with cars. And so, and then I do the ministry work, and that's enjoyable. I listen to the word, that keeps me strong. But when I lay down, I put all that to rest. And then I ask the Lord, usually for a scripture. I say, Lord, what scripture should I look at? Now, this has nothing to do with ministry. It has nothing to do with my daily routine. This is thoroughly just something that the Lord wants to say to me. And he can speak to us through scripture. So I ask him, I say, what do you want to say, Lord? What can I receive from you today? And he'll give me a scripture, and then I'll look at it. And sometimes he'll minister to me. And he's not limited. Sometimes he'll give me more things about ministry. That's fine. But when I ask him those questions, it's just for anything he want to talk about. I'm listening. And then I go to sleep. And you can learn things you never thought about doing that. Things the Lord been wanting to get over to you. You can learn those wonderful truths. The more willing we are to do God's will, the more we'll see him do in our lives. Willing obedience and the strength of God's word causes us to do all that's in his heart. There are moments we can be exactly what God needs us to be. And sometimes that's all the Lord needs. Is the right word spoken under the anointing at the right moment? You know, when we work the work of the ministry, we're usually speaking words, laying hands, praying for people, encouraging people, and it makes all the difference in the world. And the right people at the right time can hear what the Lord has to say, and they'll be changed forever. And the Lord can win souls, help us win the people we love and care about. And, you know, we care about everybody, but the people that we win to the Lord is well worth it. They get to live forever. We can't take the things that God has blessed us with to heaven, our cars and trucks and houses. All that will be provided for, whatever it is we'll have up there. But we can take people to enjoy those things. And people have seen heaven, and they've seen beautiful neighborhoods. I've seen a beautiful house with great big flowers. It's wonderful. I only saw it for a moment. And I know that everybody gets a horse. I saw my horse. Those two glimpses of heaven that I've had. Now, those who go to hell, they have nothing to look forward to. They have nothing. They own nothing. And hell owns them. That's not a good deal. It's a nightmare that you can't wake up from. But following God makes the difference. And we can make a huge difference as we follow the guidance of God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life and cause you to have Holy Ghost moments. He'll prepare you for them and reward you for them. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus totally is our Lord.